It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Hello, Kool-Aids. Welcome to Barca Talk. I'm your host, Remy Dixon. Today, we'll be talking about the games against Las Palmas and Barbastros and why we're having struggles that we're having. We'll also be looking forward to the year ahead and what could be on the horizon for FC Barcelona in 2024. But before we get into that, I want to invite everybody to join our virtual Peña. It's been interesting times at FC Barcelona, as it always is, but more interesting recently than previous years for a multitude of reasons. I say all that to say it's so much better to be with a community going through these games because win, lose, draw, play well or not, you have people to share it with. And if you don't have a Peña, our virtual Peña is everything. You can stay up to date about players, rumors, tactics. If you're not in Spain, we have somebody that shares the local newspapers to see how the local Catalan newspapers are treating our boys and women. Consider joining, $5 a month. Trust me, it's a great community to be a part of, especially in these times.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
As I am speaking to you all, Barca has just beaten Barbastros 3-2 in the Copa del Rey. Barbastros is a fourth tier team. The stadium's capacity is, 10,000 or possibly less? And we did not dominate. We did not eviscerate. We did not do any of the things that we would expect of our team 3, 4, 5 years ago. Maybe not three. More probably on the five. But all that to say, this was not the early rounds of the Copa del Rey of old. There was genuine concern, I think, from most of us that this could have gone a completely different way. And to be honest, it's kind of sad state of things when we come into a game like this knowing that a team like Barbastros does not fear us. In fact, they probably came into this game thinking they could grab a win here. But before I get into that, we can talk about Las Palmas, right? Because that was the first game of 2024, first game after our break, and we were playing a team that is 10th in the table as we speak and just lost 2-0 to Tenerife in the Copa del Rey. We did win 2-1 in that game, but it was labored. We all saw it. It was a game that a second half performance was needed from us to salvage anything from. And realistically, I got to say, I was so upset. I think as everybody else, one of the things that really caught me about this game is I don't watch Las Palmas like that. I don't really know about how they play. I know their manager was at Barça B. I used to like him. I probably would have wanted him to move up and give Xavi a bit more time, but that wasn't the way it worked out. But I remember hearing early in the game that their goalkeeper has the most touches of like any goalkeeper in the top European leagues, which clearly means that they play the high line that they started playing with all the time. And this was the thing that really just confused me about what we're doing in our back office, right? Because you scout teams, you know how they play. You come in with a plan based on how the team plays that you're playing against. Some managers are very stubborn. They maybe don't change their plans, but you really do at least have to know how the team plays and how you're going to exploit them. And it felt like we just didn't. You know, I can't imagine that Xavi started the game telling the players, hey, we're going to have those runs in the back there. And Rafinha's probably going to be open on the shoulder. He's going to be making that run. They're playing a high line, so put it over the top and go. I can't imagine Xavi told the team that, and they were all just like, nope, we're just going to not do that. Right? It took us 30 minutes to start actually putting balls over the top. Now, when we started doing that, we were clearly rusty, and that's where I'll blame the players because those passes were not great. But Las Palmas held that high line for the entirety of the game, and over the course of the second half, we got better at passing, and you know things started opening up. But it was crazy to me that Las Palmas played us like they did in the first 30 minutes, without us exploiting their massive weakness. And we had runners that would make the runs. We just wouldn't get the ball over there. Now, this is the huge question here is, why? Is that a coaching thing? Is it the players that are just like, hey, we don't want to play this way? I can't imagine that these players are saying that. I mean, I kept being like, hey, Xavi, why don't you call over one of your players and tell them that that ball over the top is on all the time and tell them to tell the rest of the team that in the first 5 minutes. And you have everybody saying it. Hey, why aren't they doing this? Why are they not playing this way? For me, that just has to be a managerial thing. I cannot imagine these players are being told what to do by their manager and the staff and then just absolutely ignoring it. And the Las Palmas game for me was the biggest example of that recently, right? Where it's clear what the other team is doing. It's clear the way to exploit that. In football, high lines, you can put a runner on the side there and play the ball over the top because there's going to be space. As long as you're onside, there's going to be space in between the goalkeeper and the defensive line, and you can exploit that. That's it. That's simple. That's tactics 101. So when you're playing a team like Las Palmas and they're doing that, using that tactic, your counter is the exact opposite thing. It's the thing I just said. You play the ball over the top. Why we weren't doing that from minute one, it's crazy. The fact that we weren't doing it well, that's on the players. But the fact that we didn't do it from the beginning, for me, that has to be the manager. It has to be the staff. It has to be everything that's happening over Barcelona right now, that we can play a team like Las Palmas that are playing a very exploitable tactic, and we just can't get to where we need to be and do the things we need to do. So that was a frustrating game. It was really nice to see Vitor Roque get some time. I mean, he did miss a big opportunity, but I will say it was nice that he was there, right? You want to start seeing him get more playing time, build more confidence, get to know his teammates, build relationships with his teammates, and might be able to really help us come mid-March in the season. So that was one of the few positives of that game for me. We come today to Babastros. Now, the starting lineup, obviously, one of the biggest surprises was Hector Font, who was playing at left back. You had Araujo, Christensen, and Koundé playing in the middle, and Koundé playing the right wing or right back, which Koundé did very well at right back. He has, when he plays there, he typically does well. Romeu, Fermín López, and Frankie de Jong. And then up top, you had Ferran Torres, Rafinha, and João Félix. This lineup was pretty good, I thought. I mean, I personally would have liked to see Mark Guehi in there, get him more time. I know we have Vitor Roque now, but we don't want to forget the kid who's scored the two times that he's played. And it's not just about, like, goals, because, yeah, the goals will come, the goals will stop at times, but it's that he's in the positions, he's hungry. The fact that we haven't been playing him more is just questionable. I don't know if it's a contractual thing. I don't know what it is, but I would have loved to have seen him start. I think he would have kind of deserved it more than, at the very least, João Félix. But it is what it is. You had Ferran Torres going down the middle, João and Rafinha on the flanks, of course. This one was interesting. I think we started out pretty good, right? We started out doing what you would expect us to do. We were bossing the game. We were getting balls into the right places. And then we just weren't finishing. We weren't clinical as we should have been against a team like this. And as the game went on, you kind of started noticing that, like, oh, like, what's going on here? Could this end up being closer than it should be? In broad strokes, I will say Hector Font was probably my player of the game. His assist to Rafinha, I haven't seen a ball like that whipped in with that pace and that accuracy from any one of our plays in a very long time. It was one of those balls where, like, you couldn't actually miss. Like, Rafinha could not have missed that if he had tried. Obviously, the first goal was scored by Fermín López, and I thought he had a pretty bright game, too. I think he fizzled out a bit towards the end. I thought he was pretty bright and just happy for him, right? I think he deserves a bit more time. Now, this was a game where you would expect a player like João Félix to really shine. I know he gives us one great game out of every 10 to 12, but this should have been one of them, and it just wasn't. There were just so many times where you're just watching it going, what's next for this dude? Like, you couldn't do it at Chelsea. You couldn't do what you were supposed to do with your potential at Atletico Madrid. Now you came here. I remember saying earlier, this move is going to be better for him than it is for us. And sadly, it's turning out bad for both, right? Like, yes, he scored some nice goals here and there, but not nearly consistently enough. And for him not to boss this game against this level of competition is crazy to me. I mean, I don't think Rafinha really set the world alight either, but he did have some nice runs. He did get around his defender a couple of times. But neither played the way that I would have expected to see them play, to be like, oh, I'm super excited about the next game. The goal that we gave away was because João Félix completely just passed it out of bounds. And not even out of bounds for a throw-in, but passed it out of bounds for the corner. He was like 30 yards out when he did that. That's just not good enough. That's not the kind of play that I would expect from a person of his caliber. And knowingly, if we were to even buy him, anybody buy him, he would want extremely high wages because he still thinks of himself as this extremely high potential and or already there great player. But week in, week out, I keep asking myself, what is it going to take to get the best out of this player? He clearly has the potential, but at a certain point, if you're just never hitting those heights or you're only doing it once every so often, are you a good player? Like, what is this? So that was a crazy mistake. They obviously scored off of it. The second time we did that, they could have scored again. They had a wide open header. I remember watching that and going, damn, we're about to play Napoli in the Champions League next round. Like, a team like Napoli buries those chances every time. What are we going to do? Like, what are we going to do when we get to that level? Yes, we may not have had our full starting, but we shouldn't have had to. And then at the end, we did put all those players on there. And we still, there were moments that we just looked silly. Two games in a row to start off this year, there were moments where we looked clownish, where we're running into each other, where we're passing the ball out, and we're not marking the men we're supposed to mark. I don't know. I mean, to an extent, you start thinking, like, damn, is it the players? Are they trying to sabotage Xavi? But I can't imagine that they're trying to do that. Those players aren't trying to do that. So you got to start thinking, like, what is it? What is it with this team right now? Why are we playing a fourth division team and almost tying? Who knows what would have happened? But we definitely didn't come out of that game looking better than we went in. Again, Victor Roque got an opportunity. And this is one of those things that really got me too. It's the substitutions, right? So you take out Rafinha, who had scored a goal and was actually pretty bright compared to João Felix and Ferran Torres, especially Ferran Torres. You had been playing him out of position. You take him out. One, why? But okay, whatever. We don't play till Thursday. Why would you take out Rafinha? Then you put in Vitor Roque. Now, they're both Brazilian. If Vitor Roque were to be starting, he would be starting alongside Rafinha, not Ferran Torres, the way you play, right? He would be, if he were to be our starting striker, it would be João Felix on the left, Vitor Roque in the middle, Rafinha on the right. Why would you not play them together to start building a partnership? I know all of us have been talking about how Rafinha and Lewandowski play like they've never played together. So why would you not start trying to foster this partnership? We weren't winning by a lot, and we don't play till Thursday. You don't need to take Rafinha off. Understandably, you might want to give Ferran more time, but even if you put him over to the left and take out João Felix, like, that could be a thing you do. But no, you take out Rafinha, you keep Ferran Torres, you bring in Lewandowski, and now you put Vitor Roque to the left. Lewandowski was playing there at some times, and it just didn't make sense. Like, the goal that Vitor Roque almost scored, right? Second time he's almost scored a goal. I'm not really worried about the fact that he's missed them. I think he could have chopped it to the left and gotten around the keeper. Whatever. Not a big deal. What I liked was that he was in the position. Again, he was in the right position. And when the goals start coming, they're going to come. But one of the things that we haven't been doing is having players in the right position. Now, if you've been watching Lewandowski, you know he dropped back. I think the best thing right now would be playing somebody right under him. That's how we played Ferran Torres in the beginning of the season when he scored a couple of those goals and the FC Barcelona social media page were calling him the shark, right? Like, playing under Lewandowski, Lewandowski can get the header, he plays a target man. He can get the header, he can turn, he can play a little pass, and that's how him and Vitor Roque combined today. But it was because Vitor Roque came inside and played under him, not because he was out on the left. I don't understand what Xavi's doing here. I don't understand how this isn't very obvious. Like, I'm not trying to be like, oh, I'm the smartest person or the best coach, but we're all talking about it. Like, you hear the announcers talk about stuff like this all the time. I don't know about this specific thing, but there's constant talk of, oh, why are you playing these players here? Why are you doing this? And I don't know if Xavi's just being stubborn and sticking his heels in or what the situation is, but it looked promising what happened with Vitor Roque and Lewandowski. And if it were me moving forward, I would play Vitor Roque under Lewandowski. Maybe I would sacrifice one of our like midfielders for that. But at the same time, I just think it's going to be a good move. Lewandowski clearly isn't that same striker that used to stay up top. And I guess he also feels like he needs to be dropping back. So it'd be nice to have a player that could run off of him and go straight into that space that he's left. He's taken defenders with him now. And it seems like Vitor Roque could be that person. But you got to start playing him and Rafinha together. You got to start playing him and Lewandowski together if you're going to do it. I don't know. I mean, there were, as I said, there were some positives. Hector Font was great. On this really negative note, Iñigo Martínez looked like he got hurt again. Really sad for him. That really sucks. Like, nobody likes being injured, but especially when you don't play and then you come in and then you get injured immediately right after. That sucks. That's a very sad thing. So looking forward past this game to what the rest of the year could look like, the rest of the season at the very least. Now we go to Saudi Arabia at the end of this week to play in the Supercopa. We're missing some players. Valde wasn't healthy enough to play this game, but it doesn't seem like he's out with a long-term injury. So we'll see what happens with João Cancelo. It's going to be interesting to see us progress forward, right? We're going to be playing harder teams, not just in Champions League. We're going to be playing teams that are coming at us, not fearing Barcelona at all, right? Even if we played a third division team next in the Copa del Rey, they're not going to fear us. Nobody's scared of us anymore. We have lost that. And I think it's worse than lost that. I think you see this team now and you go, not only am I not scared of them, I think I can beat them. I don't feel like there are many managers that are not looking at us going, I could output Xavi. And I'm not trying to be overly pessimistic here. I just keep seeing things that make me feel very much like he is not the one for us. I would love to see him turn a corner. I'd love to see things change. But I just don't know. And I'm not saying that like we can get rid of him right now. I don't think there's anybody we can bring in. I think our biggest hope for the rest of the season is that these young players keep getting more time and Victor Roque integrates well, and we can keep a hold of the players that we need to actually build moving forward at the end of the season. But I am not here thinking that when this season is over, Xavi should retain. It'll be interesting to see what he does. I mean, could he pull us back up? Could we win a trophy? All these things are possible. I don't think we have a bad team. And to the point of that, I remember thinking during the Las Palmas game, if the tables were turned and Garcia Pimienta was managing Barca with this team, what could he do, right? Like, the question of any of these teams that we play against and we struggle, for me, it's always like, are they man for man better than we are? And I don't think that's the case for a lot of teams. I don't think we've come across teams that on an individual level, those players are actually better than our players. Our players aren't so bad that like we really need new players to make this work. My fear is that you could throw as many new players, as many good players as you want at this team, and I don't think Xavi has the ability to get this team working together and doing the things that we need to do. I think what you get with some of these really good players or players that are better than our players, younger, faster, more dynamic, is you can mask a manager's lack of tactics. But like that happened in many parts last year. And I feel like what we're seeing this year is a lack of that one dynamic player that's going to really change things and make something happen for us. It's exposing the fact that we have a bunch of pieces, but we don't have a full cohesive unit that plays well with each other, that can defend as well as we did before, that can move forward with the ball as well as we did before, that has ideas when they need to, that can do things dynamically, that can shift, that can adapt, that can play the way we need to play to be competitive. Fear that we're going to get even more exposed against Napoli, but hopefully we don't. Hopefully everybody stays healthy and things start working out. I would love to see, as I said a little bit earlier, I would love to see us play somebody under Lewandowski so he can be the target man and that person can run in and score goals off of his passes. That'd be Vitor Roque, Ferran Torres. Even if you want to put João Felix over there, that would be fine. I would love to see us actually play the right players in defense. Cancelo, Araujo, Koundé, Balde. When all fit, obviously. I would love to see our midfielders having a bit more freedom to get into the positions that they'd like to, especially Gundogan. I'd like to see our team making those passes and moving the ball quicker, like we did in those 2-5-0 wins. I don't know what's happened. I don't know what's changed. I don't know why we haven't been able to replicate that form. And it just seemed like a mentality switch. But, you know, it is what it is. It's 2024. Trying to be positive, trying to look forward positively. But I will say there's something great about having people to talk about this with and watch these games with, because if I were watching these by myself, it would be pretty miserable. But all that said, we did win both of those games that I just talked about. So who knows? Maybe we keep winning by one goal and we end up winning the league again. Who knows? Who knows? Anything could happen in 2024. But that's it for now. Have a great week. Looking forward to Osasuna Thursday. As always, Forza Barca.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.